With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. Danny is out today. He will be back next week. Garrison Ryan on the production. Let's welcome in our audience in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. They'll be with us until 6. I'm taking you up to 6:30 on the flagship, 106.7 The Fan. You can listen wherever you are on the Odyssey app. You're getting out of the car, running into the store, pause the show, rewind the show, whatever you'd like to do. I'm going to make my bold Commanders predictions coming up later this segment because I saw a piece written by Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus that got me thinking about bold predictions. They're doing it for every NFL team. He covered the NFC East, and he joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the book. Sam, it's Grant. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. So we'll go around the NFC East in just a bit, but I want to start with the Commanders. So you had three predictions. These are out on a limb, but you think they could come to fruition for Washington. So I want to start with Jamin Davis improving his PFF grade by 30-plus points. Quantify for people what that might look like in terms of performance for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge jump. Obviously, PFF's grading scale is on a 0 to 100 scale. Anything below 50 is pretty bad play, and he ended last season with a 46.8, I believe. So jumping from 47 up to 77, 80 would be going from, you know, one of the lower ranked linebackers in the league to one of the better grading players at his position. And I think he's well capable of that. I mean, he was a first round pick for a good reason. His athleticism and explosiveness and what he's capable of is obvious just from watching the tape. And when you look at him play in his rookie season, you could see the issue. It was processing time. It was, you could kind of see the hesitation that every single play created in him, and that hesitation just doesn't fly in today's NFL anymore. Like, offense are too difficult to stop. If you take a half a beat, you're out of position, and if you're out of position, you're getting blocked or you're getting taken out of the play, and you're just not able to take advantage of that athleticism. So I'm working on the basis that I think a year of suffering through that is going to get him up to speed. It's going to get him up to the NFL level, the speed of the game. And once he's there mentally, I think he's got all the capability in the world to be a top-tier linebacker.
How frequent is it that a guy just for some reason, whatever it is, doesn't make the transition to the point where that processing time goes away? Because it stands to reason as a rookie, that's probably an issue a lot of players have. But as you said, you see all the physical traits. He checks every box. I'm sure there are guys throughout history where we're 3 years in and you're going, man, it's still just not happening. Like, how frequently does that happen with guys of his ilk in the middle of the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is now linebacker is maybe the hardest position in the NFL to play outside of quarterback because of the way the league has gone. And it's almost, it's not even worth kind of comparing them back 10 years to how linebackers used to enter the league. We're talking about a completely different challenge that these guys have to deal with now. And every step of offensive evolution over the last 10 years has just made their life more and more difficult. So now what you're seeing is most off-the-ball linebackers come into the league and struggle pretty badly early on. And then they go one of two ways. Then you get that fork in the road, and either the problem was you were just overwhelmed with the speed and the difficulty of the job in year one, and once you've sort of adjusted to that, once you're at that speed again, now you go back to being, you know, a great athlete, a great playmaker, and somebody physically capable of playing the position, or you just get overwhelmed by the difficulty of the job and you're not able to succeed at this level, relying on the physical traits and the abilities that you had in college where the job was just so much easier. So I don't think there's any great way of telling necessarily how a guy is going to progress or which fork in the road they're going to take. But I think we saw enough from Davis, and he improved, you know, late in the season. His PFF grades were getting better by the end of the year. I think we saw enough in his play to at least think that he's going to go in that direction rather than just stay overwhelmed and out of his depth.
The voice of Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, bold predictions for every NFL team. He covered their predictions for Washington. All right, your second prognostication was that the defense will improve its ranking, I believe, by 10-plus positions. Now, in DVOA, they went from third a couple years ago to sixth to the bottom last year, and overall ranking top five to bottom seven or so as well. So you're seeing a big bounce back here in this prediction.
Yeah, I think Washington, they kind of fooled everybody last year. You know, a lot of people were high on them going into the season and expecting them to maybe make a playoff run and all these kinds of things. And we lost Ryan Fitzpatrick early in the season. The defense played terribly relative to expectations. And I think the pendulum has kind of swung all the way in the wrong direction or all the way to the other end. And now we're sort of way low on where we think this team could or should be. And the answer is probably somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. I think we're closer to this year is going to be what we're expecting from them last year than a repeat of what happened a year ago. Obviously, the defense played badly, but what was more, I think, relevant to what kind of bounce back they're going to have, it was unusually bad in sort of very unstable, volatile numbers. Like, their performance on third downs was ridiculously terrible, like just unbelievably bad relative to what it should be or what any kind of defense typically is. And I don't think that that's down necessarily to one specific failing. I think that's just sometimes that's the way it goes, you know, and sometimes you end up playing unusually badly in really high leverage situations. And when that happens, obviously that costs you more than it would if you were just playing badly across the board. So I think the defense is better than it showed a year ago. I think it's even better than that because they're not going to be as bad. They're going to positively regress statistically in those kind of higher leverage areas. And I think we probably see a defense that's just significantly better than it was a year ago.
And they face, and you hit on this, but easier competition by way of both
Absolutely.
Teams and quarterbacks, which I think is
yeah.
massive in the whole conversation about them this year. But I guess the way I would play devil's advocate, I want to see what you think about this, is they lost Settle and Ioannidis on the D-line, and they replaced them with just Fedarian Mathis, the second-round pick. They lost Landon Collins, who was a huge disappointment until they moved him into their, you know, their Buffalo nickel role, and that was a great package for them down the stretch, and everyone played better, including how awesome he was, and they really didn't do much to replace him either. I feel like they're just thin. I mean, they don't have a lot, and if Jamin Davis doesn't break out, it's him and Cole Holcomb and then just kind of dudes off the scrap heap at linebacker. So I worry about their depth a lot.
Well, first of all, I'm going to need you to respect the great David Mayo an awful lot more
That's
than that
point.
Before we go any further. But no, you're right. They have had the depth chipped away at a little bit. I think one thing that could offset that is a bounce back from some of the players that underwhelmed, you know, whether it's Jamin Davis, but also William Jackson, we know is a better player than he showed last season. Chase Young has been beat up and dealing with injuries, and we haven't really seen, I think, what he's truly capable of yet as well. If he's able to stay healthy and or get healthy and then stay healthy and show something closer to what we expected him to be at the NFL level, I think there's enough ways where the individuals could play better and offset the loss of depth and the fact that they have gotten a little bit thin. But you're right, injuries in particular could absolutely derail that progress.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, does a great job covering the league. You should be following him and their content as we ramp up for the 2022 season. All right, the third and final prediction, you made three for every team in the division for Washington, and this is kind of painting with a broad brush now on all sides of the ball, but you've got them sneaking into the playoffs as a bold prediction here, so write that script for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first thing is that the NFC is not the AFC, and it's going to be an awful lot easier for these teams on the fringes to get a wild card spot in the NFC. The division winners, you know, may run off into the distance, and there may be a gap between those teams and the teams that are not quite as good, but there's going to be a bunch of teams that have a realistic chance of snagging a wild card spot in the NFC, and I think Washington could be one of them. Like, trading for Carson Wentz is not going to get too many people excited. The days of Carson Wentz looking like any kind of top-tier quarterback, I think, are long gone, but the important thing to focus on is how much better Carson Wentz should be than Taylor Heinicke. And even if Wentz doesn't play any better than last season, he will be a better player than Taylor Heinicke by a pretty big margin. And that's before you get to the idea of adding a guy like Jahan Dotson, who, you know, could take this offense to somewhere different. Curtis Samuel potentially being healthier. Just there's weaponry to work with in terms of McLaurin, those other guys in the receiving core. That offensive line should still be a very good unit, even with Brandon Scherff departing in free agency. The backfield is very strong. The offense is, I think, capable of putting up decent production and points against people. And as we just talked about, the defense should be significantly better. So, and again, the easier schedule than they had last season. So I think there's a lot of things leaning back in this team's direction, and I think they should be absolutely in that wild card chase late in the season.
You ranked some predictions for the other teams in the division as you dove into Dallas and Philly. Which do you like better? How do you rank those two teams atop the East?
I do like Philadelphia. I have a sneaking feeling that the Eagles might steal this division from Dallas. I love pretty much everything the Eagles did this offseason. I think they had a great offseason, whereas Dallas felt like they were just treading water and trying not to get worse, you know, or trying to keep pace with where they were a season ago. And that's fine, but, you know, if you're only staying where you are and everybody else is taking a step forward, you effectively took a step backwards. And I think that's what we might see with Dallas. The Eagles are going to be really interesting to watch because, you know, A.J. Brown should make a massive impact to this team, but they've made a bunch of other moves as well, which I think have a pretty broad range of outcomes. Guys like Jordan Davis, you know, he's capable of special things, but he also is a guy that played like 300 snaps a season in college and didn't dominate as much as he could or should have. So he could go, I think, in a number of different ways in terms of the impact he makes. And then a guy like N'Kobe Dean in the third round, I think they drafted him. Dean could genuinely be the steal of the entire draft. I mean, that Georgia defense was one of the best defenses that college football has ever seen. And N'Kobe Dean was the best player on that defense. Now, people will say, well, yeah, but he was helped out by, you know, Jordan Davis and people like that being in front of him. Well, one, Jordan Davis is still in front of him. But two, you know, that didn't help everybody else in that defense grade spectacularly well. Like, he was an incredible performer who, by all accounts, is, you know, we talked about Jamin Davis and how he might, or how he struggled year one to kind of get up to speed in the NFL and just be where he needs to be mentally. That has been talked about forever as being the strength of N'Kobe Dean and how he's able to come in, absorb the playbook instantly, and be just so far further ahead of where young players are supposed to be. If he's able to do that, he should immediately start for that team and will make a big difference. So I think the Eagles have done an awful lot to move forwards, and I don't think you can make the same argument for Dallas.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. All right, let me sneak one in on the Giants, because it feels like whenever we talk to anybody about the division right now, New York doesn't come up, and the expectation is that they'll be pulling up the rear. But I mean, realistically, you're one with Daboll trying to get Daniel Jones to turn a corner. How bad could they be?
I don't think they'll be terrible. I think they've done some nice things. They were in a tough spot in terms of just the flexibility that they had to get an awful lot better. You know, they couldn't go out and spend big in free agency and overhaul an offensive line. They had to do it in cheaper, lower value type of moves and hope it's enough. It would be huge for them if their rookie offensive lineman Evan Neal comes in as a good right tackle right away, and then all of a sudden you've got a bookend pair of Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal playing at a high level, and you just hope that the interior can play average football. If that happens, you know, they have receivers that are pretty good. Now, they haven't been able to stay healthy and on the field together at the same time, but there's definitely a world where that offensive line is fine, the receiving core stays healthy and is a decent group, and then Daniel Jones plays better within this Brian Daboll offense, and the Giants offense actually ends up looking pretty good. I think their defense is still going to be a problem, but I don't think that they'll be a terrible team. I just think that they're clearly, you know, the fourth best team in the division.
And as is generally the case, probably, whoever's fourth in the division, be a pain in the butt when they're playing the rest of the division, right? I mean, Eagles, Cowboys, Washington, they split with those teams. I don't think many people would be surprised. You could check out Sam's work at @PFF_Sam on Twitter. And as I said, go to Pro Football Focus as we gear up for the season. Thanks a ton. Always great to have you on the show.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Be well. Sam Monson with us here on Grant and Danny, sans Danny today on The Fan. All right, so with that in mind, you just heard his three bold predictions. He's got a big breakthrough season coming for Jamin Davis. He thinks the defense massively improves in its ranking, and he thinks Washington sneaks into the postseason. I put together my own version of this. I did my own three bold predictions, and as is generally the case, I kind of individualized it with players. Although I'm on record as saying I think they go 10-7, and I think they make a wild card spot, maybe the last team in. That's not because I am overly optimistic about their offseason or anything like that. I just think that they're fine. I think the conference is probably the worst that it's been in years, and I think their schedule is soft enough that you could sleep on it and it would be really comfortable all night long. And for those reasons, I think they could get to 10 wins. I also think Wentz will be better than what they've gotten. But here are my three bold predictions, and as you guys listen to these, I want to know what you would add. I just want one from each of you, if you have one. Tweet me at Grant H. Paulson or call in now. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines, which are wide open at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. This is not something that is obvious. This is not something that is likely to happen. In fact, I'm looking for something unlikely to happen that you actually think will, not just some crazy hot take. So number one, Montez Sweat has 14 sacks this year. Montez Sweat is going to have the best year of his career. Now, the one problem with him getting to that number, which would be the highest sack count by someone in Washington since Dexter Manley, is that I think not having Chase Young on the other side will really hurt him, particularly early in the season, specifically when he's got, you know, Smith Williams or Casey Tuhill or someone rushing off of the other edge. I think he's going to get chipped and there's going to be slide protections and he's occasionally going to get doubled and worked by a tight end and a tackle at the same time. He has never had 10 sacks. He had 9 2 years ago. I think he gets over a dozen, and I'm going to be real bold here and say 14. He has had, by all accounts, a tremendous training camp. He is healthy, and he is on the precipice of getting paid. This is not a contract year, but when you are a first-round pick, you get paid typically before your fifth season. So for him, he's going into year four, which is when, as of next offseason, he's going to be negotiating and trying to get his money. Think John Allen. So with that in mind, I think he's going to bring it, and I think he has a huge year. I also have just always loved the skills in the player. He is action figure-like in his frame. 6'6", 260, fast, quick, twitchy, long as a center in the NBA. I mean, he is really, really a special athlete. And we've seen it in spurts. I think he puts it all together this year. So I'm going to say huge season and the highest sack total in Washington since Dexter Manley for Montez Sweat. All right, number two. Jahan Dotson, rookie wide receiver, 65 catches this year in his rookie year. Only Jamison Crowder that comes to mind for me has been in that vicinity, you know, post the golden era of Washington when they were winning Super Bowls under Joe Gibbs. Dotson, at 22 years old, there are shades of Terry McLaurin here, in that he is mature beyond his years. He is a rookie who seems to be going on year 9 or 10. Speed is good. Not elite, but good. 4.43 40. Runs very crisp routes. You can watch him from Penn State. Go back and look at any of the games. You'll see that. Exceptional hands. Doesn't drop anything. I think he has a knack and a propensity to find little holes and soft spots and beat zone coverage. And I also believe, just based on the reporting, that it seems like he's got a really good rapport already with Carson Wentz. And because he was around all offseason, post being drafted, when McLaurin wasn't, while handling his business trying to get paid, I think he's a little bit further along with Wentz, maybe, than even McLaurin is. So I think you take into account that Curtis Samuel's probably going to miss time, the drop-off at the position outside of those big three to the rest of the depth chart. I think Dotson moved inside into the slot, working the middle of the field as a safety valve, occasionally making big plays on the outside as well. 65 catches for me. I know that's bold, and that would be a huge first year for him, but I think that's very realistic. So that's going to be number two. And I'll give you my third in just a moment. But I want to hear from you guys. So far I've got Montez Sweat, 14 sacks. Jahan Dotson, 65 receptions. And I'm going to give you my third bold prediction next. We'll get to your calls as well. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have. We are 2 days away from a preseason game in FedEx Field. Let's do this thing, people. It's football season. Let's get it going. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We got two preseason games tonight in the NFL. Commanders play Saturday at FedEx Field. Many of you will be going out there. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny is at the beach. I'm giving you my three bold predictions for the Commanders this season. We just had Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus on because he wrote a piece where he's ranking three bold predictions for every team. He said Jamin Davis is going to be a ton better. He quantified that. He claims that the defense will improve by at least 10 spots in the rankings, and he's got the Commanders sneaking into the playoffs. So after he broke his bold predictions down, he got off the phone. I gave you two of my three so far. Montez Sweat, 14 sacks. Jahan Dotson, 65-plus receptions in his rookie year. Right now, I will open up the phones again, 800-636-1067. I want to hear your guys' bold predictions, but I've got my third one for you, which is, this is a little bit spicy, okay? I saved the best for last, I think. Your leading rusher for the Washington Commanders in 2022 will be Brian Robinson. I believe that whether it's Gibson's inability to stay healthy, which has been a problem to this point for him, obviously, or just performance. I think Robinson's going to get work between the tackles, thumping, and I think he's going to have success. You come from that Alabama program. He is mature. He was there for a while and had a ton of opportunities that he made good on. He was the 98th pick in round three for a reason. Washington knows what they have. They know what they needed. And they went out and acquired him, brought him in. You don't draft the guy in the third round you're not planning on using. But at 23 years old, it's going to take a couple of fumbles, frankly, from Gibson, and he's going to start getting looks. And if he makes the most of those opportunities at 225 pounds, running a 4.5, being tough to get on the ground, I could absolutely see him supplanting Gibson for carries as this year goes on. Now, if I ran the offense, J.D. McKissic would be the most utilized running back in terms of snaps and probably even in terms of carries, honestly. I'm not sure if I can keep him healthy because he's not a big guy, and I'd probably be giving him close to 12 to 14 carries a game because I'm running out of the gun and I'm doing a lot of things out of the spread. But they want to be a little bit more traditional and a little bit more balanced in how they run the football, and that's fine. There's a lot of different ways to capture the flag, so to speak. But Brian Robinson, your leading rusher, is my third prediction. You guys can tell me what you think about those at 800-636-1067 if you'd like. A couple of tweets coming in at Grant H. Paulson if you want to hit me up that way. First one here. Pablo says Terry McLaurin 1,200 plus yards this year. So I'm not sure if that's bold enough, to be honest with you. And the reason I say that is we have seen McLaurin flirt with 1,200 yards already. I mean, he has been on the verge of that type of performance. His sophomore year in the league at 25 with terrible quarterback play on a bad offense, he went for over 1,100. Last year, that dropped off to 1,050. I get that. So it's a 150-yard jump, but you just paid the guy a lot of money. And generally, when you do that, you want to justify that decision, and you want to make yourself look good. And so you're going to call his number. He'll get his targets. He'll get his looks. He's going to get his opportunities. I believe that Terry McLaurin is one of the 15 or so best wide receivers in football. If you agree with me on that, then I think you'd agree with me that to predict 1,200 yards for Terry when he's been over 1,000 in two straight years, and if not for missing two games in his rookie year, he'd be 3-for-3 with two 1,100-yard seasons on his resume. It's probably not bold enough, to be honest. So I'm thinking if you want to go bold with McLaurin and production this year, you're probably going to have to bump that number up to like 1,350 would certainly be out on a limb because that's, I would say, an unrealistic leap. I mean, we're already at a point where we're not really sure in terms of just passing production what the entire offense is going to look like anyway because Carson Wentz is a little bit of an unknown. Third team, 3 years, new offense, tough couple of weeks into camp. Lewis on Twitter says, bold prediction, the good guys look so good by the end of the season that Danny actually goes to the last game of the year at FedEx against Dallas at one of our home playoff games. I think that's probably the boldest prediction I've ever
heard. That is outrageously bold.
I don't know what's bolder, the idea that they're going to be playing a home playoff game, which has only happened at FedEx Field. In my lifetime, let's see, they beat the Lions, they lost to the Packers, they lost to the Seahawks, I think three times ever, maybe, in the history of that stadium?
The Bucs as well. The Heineken game.
Oh, I just, for some reason.
How dare you forget about that?
Well, no crowd. I mean, I guess it's just not in the memory bank. But yeah, so four playoff games ever. The great division champion team of 2020, way back when they went 7-9 and made the playoffs. And Taylor Heineke hit the pylon. But those four playoff games ever at FedEx, he's calling for a home playoff game. That's pretty bold. And I would even say that is less bold than assuming that Danny Ruye will go to a game at FedEx. Remember, we've done broadcasts from there where we have, like, work-wise, he's a team player. He's a worker. He does what he's asked. We do shows from FedEx. And he leaves the moment the show ends before anything starts. See, I'm going to say that no one will give me anything quite that bold. I'm also getting some Cole Turner love on Twitter, which I dig, by the way. I actually thought about going Cole Turner, and I just thought it would be too predictable because I've been singing his praises since the day after the draft. But here's the two bold predictions I got on him. Meat says Cole Turner leads tight ends in touchdowns. If Logan Thomas was healthy, I would say that's not bold, or you know, that's bold. But because he's not, I think that's probably expected. I mean, we'll see when Logan Thomas gets back on the field. Like, if he's playing week two, week three, then yeah, he would be your betting favorite. There'd be a minus number next to him with a plus number next to Cole Turner on the odds. But I like this one from Monty on Twitter, who says, Cole Turner over 30 catches and 6+ touchdowns. Now, the 6 scores is kind of a boatload, particularly for an offense that we're not really sure is going to be high octane. Like, when you're predicting touchdowns, if you're talking about the Rams or the Bucks or the Packers, you know, these elite-level QBs, sling the ball around, score a lot of points, move the sticks, rank in the top 5 or 7 in scoring, then there's a lot of touchdowns to go around. Over the last few years, though, frankly, you look at it, I mean, Taylor Heinicke threw 20 total touchdowns last year. So if we're expecting low 20 touchdown totals, which is about what they've gotten from their QBs over the last few years, if we're saying that a third of those, or you know, close to that, a little over a quarter of those is going to one guy, I'd say that's out on a limb.
I like it, though. With taking into account Carson Wentz's, you know, love for tight ends, throwing a tight end, Zach Ertz has had a lot of good touchdown seasons in his career. I kind of like that prediction.
I love it, too, because I really think Cole Turner is legit. Like, to me, there is a position, right? Occasionally, there are positions. It's cyclical. It's year by year in the NFL where you see this. But there's, like, certain spots where if you're a fit, you can make an instant impact. You don't have to be the best player. You don't have to be rated 90 in every category on Madden or anything like that. If you're a fit based on the way the game is played now, you're going to immediately help a team. And right now, that position to me on offense is tight end. If you're a matchup problem and you are too big for DBs and you're too fast for linebackers, if you're able to block enough that it's not obvious when you're on the field that it's clearly going to be a pass, and I think Cole Turner checks every box I just said, I think you can help a team quickly. Sometimes these guys are flashes in the pans. Like, do you remember that dude in Detroit a few years ago, Joseph Faria, who caught like 8 touchdowns in 2 games and then he was never heard from again? And I hope, I don't even remember. I mean, for all I know, it was a serious injury or something. I don't want to make little light of what happened. But he was just the bee's knees for like a month and then he was gone. It happens like that in this league sometimes. I really think that the way that they operate their offense, and people talk about Wentz loving tight ends, as Darius just brought up, and it certainly has been the case in his career. I wonder if that was just because of personnel. Like, I would have been throwing to the tight ends in Philly over the years, led by Zach Ertz, overthrowing to converted quarterbacks at wide receiver also. I mean, they just didn't always have talent. He didn't have a problem throwing to Alshon Jeffrey when Alshon Jeffrey was there. Last year, if you look at Indianapolis, it wasn't like they had great wide receiver talent. So all of a sudden, Mo Alie-Cox looks a little bit better. But he wasn't avoiding Michael Pittman Jr., who broke out and had a lot of success. In fact, I think he's a real sleeper fantasy-wise going into this year to be a monster at the receiver position. But point being, if Logan Thomas plays in, say, 15 games and is 100% healthy, it's going to ding the value of Cole Turner. But if there's an opportunity there because Thomas doesn't get all the way back, who's currently on PUP, or misses some time at the beginning of the year, he is unimpeded to being the pass-catching tight end. He could be a massive component in this offense. John Bates is largely a block-first guy. He did some okay things last year, but he's not going to make plays after the catch. There's not a lot of wiggle in the open field or make you miss in his game. Good player, and I like the pick. I mean, it was a win for Rivera and crew in the 4th round out of Boise State. Fine little tight end, too. Probably a tight end 2.5 on a championship-level offense. But Turner is what I salivate for, what I look for. That's the dream to me, is basketball-like skills to go up and box people out. win contested balls. He's 6'6", 240, can run, can shifty enough with footwork to kind of leave you in his tracks. I'm really, really excited to watch him. In fact, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but as you look ahead to preseason game number one at FedEx Field on Saturday, he's on my short list of guys that I'm going to be tracking and monitoring. Those are some bold predictions for you. Again, you can send me what you got at Grant H. Paulson. Not all at once. Your enthusiasm here in August is overwhelming, I got to say. Way too much participation for the start of the NFL season. You guys seem really jacked up. So everyone just calm down a little bit. We've got to wait till September. Let's not shoot everything all at once. All right, next, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I had the best cookie that I've ever had at any store yesterday. I'm going to tell you where I got that delicious chocolate chip cookie next. And at 4 o'clock, our Beltway Blitz. Interestingly today, this is rare, on the Beltway Blitz, we're going to talk a little NASCAR. I've got a driver, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's getting ready for the Richmond race. Our listeners down there on AM 910 and FM 105.1, you guys know. RIR is hosting NASCAR this weekend. Well, guess what? Xfinity Saturday, Big Boys on Sunday. Ricky Stenhouse is going to join us in 20 minutes on the Blitz. That'll be cool. G&D right here on The Fan.
But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Just envy? Just being jealous? The National League East right now is so fun. And then there's the Nationals. I mean, are you guys paying any attention to this? Has anybody seen this? The Mets cannot lose. They've won 15 of 17. Buck Showalter, Max Scherzer show up, and they can't Met anymore. They're not falling apart at the seams like they used to. The Phillies went into today. Now, they're playing right now, and I think they were losing late, even though my guy Kyle Gibson shoved. But they've won 12 of their last 13. And Bryce Harper's not even playing. Harper went down. Castellanos went down. I think most people kind of left them for dead. I saw yesterday, I'm pretty sure this record's correct, they're 41-19 since they fired Joe Girardi. Now, I don't happen to believe managers are that important in the grand scheme of things in baseball. So the idea that just firing Girardi is the only reason why. But I do think there's something to be said for when you make a change like that, everyone kind of reevaluates and looks themselves in the mirror, potentially feels bad, gets on their P's and Q's, and actually starts focusing a little more. So they lit a fire with that move, obviously. I'm not sure that they upgraded so much at the managerial position that they now win a lot more than they did. But they're 41-19, third best in baseball, best in the division over their last 60 games. And then the Braves yesterday debuted another top prospect. They just plucked these dudes off of an assembly line. It's like a conveyor belt at some factory where they build cars in Michigan or something. Michael Harris and Spencer Strider earlier this year. And then yesterday it was Vaughn Grissom at Fenway Park, and if you missed his first game, by the way, his first hit was a home run that literally went out of the ballpark, over the seats, clearing everything and left. And it was really wholesome and great. All of his teammates gathered around him in the dugout then to watch the iPad, to watch his first home run, and they're all high-fiving him and having a cute moment there. But the division right now is just in fuego, and it's this race of postseason caliber teams, Mets, Braves, Phillies, and it looks like New York's going to pull away or at least hold on strong. Atlanta may have something to say about that, but it makes what's going on with the Nationals that much more painful, I will say. All right, with that out of the way and now on the record, let's get to our double play on GND. We do it every day at this time. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Brought to you by GovSmart, intelligent IT solutions for government. Visit GovSmart.com. By the way, we're 11 minutes away from the Beltway Blitz. Covering today, the Nationals, Chelsea Janes, the Commanders, Ethan Cadeau, and NASCAR. There's a race in Richmond this weekend. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who drives the 47 car, is going to stop by our Beltway Blitz, which will be cool. I had a chocolate chip cookie yesterday that was so good that I texted Darris and Ryan about it. True story. So my wife hit me up at about 5:30. This never happens. Normally when we interact about dinner, it's me saying, hey, can I eat whatever I want? And her saying, no, you have to come home. I'm making something. And then me begging her for, can I please just stop and get something on the way home? And then she says again, no, you fat tub of goo, come home. I'm making a meal for you. That's our normal interactions. So last night at about 5, I don't know, whatever time it was, close to the end of the show, I look down, I've got a text. And I open it up and she says, and this was completely random and out of the blue, hey, if you don't want to have fish tacos or whatever terrible thing it was that I didn't want, because I didn't want fish tacos, because the word fish was in it. So she said, if you don't want to have fish tacos, one thing we could do is I would love to have some Peruvian chicken, I think it was. She's like, why don't you pick up Pollo Campero? Now, I've never eaten there. I don't know anything about this place. I've no file at all. And I am not good with places I haven't been to before when I have to order. So I was nervous. I had anxiety. I was petrified. It wasn't as bad as Starbucks where they use their own language and yell at you if you don't know it. But I went into Pollo Campero and I just never been there. And it's a real life, like great, delicious looking chicken place and all the sides are there. But I don't know what I want or what I don't want. They've got rice and mashed potatoes. And I just didn't have my plan together at all. So I knew whatever I ordered, she was going to be upset that it wasn't something else. But then she didn't give me any specific instructions. If you guys are married, you get this. So I said to her, what do you want? She said, whatever, you know, just order me something. But no matter what I brought home, it wasn't going to be the right thing. So I kind of knew that going in. So I did a 3-piece meal, got her some mashed potatoes and some rice, and we called it a day. The whole point of this story, other than that I got a chicken sandwich there, which was incredible, by the way. This place was great. I ordered a chocolate chip cookie because as I'm paying, like you see at a McDonald's or a Subway or something, they had the little plastic bin right there with cookies. And the only cookies I eat are chocolate chip, which are the best. And so all they had was chocolate chip cookies, and they looked incredible. They looked great. So I said to the guy, I said, hey, I'd love to eat one of those. I'll just take one of those chocolate chip cookies. Oh, okay, man. So he adds that to the bill, and he hands me the cookie with the tongs and the little piece of paper. And so then I immediately start eating it while I'm waiting for my food. First bite, I knew. This is one of the great cookies I've ever had. Finished the cookie as quickly as I could so that I could text Ryan and Darris to tell them, you guys have to go to Pollo Campero to get a chocolate chip cookie. Got me to thinking, who's got the best chocolate chip cookies at checkout? And that's kind of what I wanted to dive into on Twitter here. I've always been a fan of Firehouse Subs chocolate chip cookies. I think they do a good job. For a long time in my life, I would always go to Subway just for their cookies. I think they got really good chocolate chip cookies. There's probably some others I'm forgetting. But I think the one I had yesterday at Pollo Campero was the best chocolate chip cookie I've had. Category being, you just get it in addition to the other stuff because you see it while you're paying. Like that kind of a setup, if that makes sense.
Of course. What, was it also a little warm? Was it a little gooey? Like, give me a little texture.
Yeah,
of what it was
not
like.
Gooey at all. I don't like what I would consider to be uncooked is gooey.
Yeah.
I like a completely, like, if it were eggs, we would say like over easy or something. Like, I don't want any of that. I want it cooked all the way through. The way I describe it is, I said this earlier, it didn't make any sense, I don't think. When you bite into a cookie, one of two things happens. Either the cookie kind of snaps and like shoots in either direction around your teeth because it's hard and it breaks into pieces, or it doesn't, or you can kind of bite down on it because it's mushy and then it just kind of gets like condensed between your teeth. And that's what I'm looking for. And so it was of that substance, I would say. Fully cooked, but not, it doesn't snap. If I was to have bent it, I would have kind of peeled away, so to speak, and like both sides would have separated. But there would have been no audible noise, no sound. I don't want a snappy, firm, crackling cookie. Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense if you're a cookie lover. So much sense.
So I like the cook. I don't know that I've ever had a cookie at Chick-fil-A. You said yesterday they have really good ones.
Very good ones. If you like oats in them, then you'll love them.
Well, I don't like oats in them. I just want...
It's like the unhealthy kinds. The stuff that I like.
But do they have plain chocolate chip or is it oatmeal chocolate chip?
It's a chocolate chip cookie but with some oats in it.
Okay. That's not it. I need it to be plain chocolate chip. That's a chocolate chip cookie. Anything else in addition to is not a chocolate chip cookie. It's chocolate chip with other stuff. McDonald's has great cookies, chocolate chip cookies. A little bit hit or miss on texture, I would say, because they can be soft or tear. You know, they could be a little bit on the like the medium rare side, if you will. I don't know that's the term to use for cookies, but like I want medium well cookies. Is that crazy, Darius? A medium well cookie? That's what I'm looking for.
No, not at all. That sounds like the perfectly baked cookie right there.
So you can tweet me, and we'll read some of these responses on the other side. But what I'm really trying to figure out is, I'm going to buy food. I'm going to get a cookie at checkout. Who does the best chocolate chip cookie? That's my question. At Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. You can hit me up, 800-636-1067. You want to get in that way. Beltway Blitz, top of the hour on the Nationals, the Commanders, and the race in Richmond this weekend. You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.